Welcome to Wolf Dan's Saturday Set, where we have reached the finale of what has been a magnificent Autumn Festival of Racing down Melbourne Way, King Zone. How are you, mate?
Feeling good. Yep. Feeling good. Back in my happy place, back in my seat, and ready to attack.
Australian Cup this week.
Yes.
Should be great. We're going to talk about that very soon. Fizzer, welcome in, mate.
Yeah, cheers, boys. You guys look like you had fun last weekend.
We did. Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on.
Very good.
There's a fantastic card at Flemington. There's also a pretty good card at Rose Hill. It's pretty
there
deep.
You're
a bit worried about the rain.
I'm worried. I'm always worried if it's rainy on race day. It's not much fun to bet into, but there's a bit of value there if people find the wetties on a really wet day.
All right, let's get into this magnificent meeting at Flemington. And we're going to start with the Sunlight Classic, or what's known this year as the World Pool Sprint Classic or something like that. What do we know about this race? We know there's a Kiwi Arrayta coming across. We need to learn about her. Let's go and watch the King's Plate from Ellerslie on Champions Day. I think it was March the 8th. So you've got Alabama Last there. She was $1.70 on the day. She's out in front. You've got Crocetti in the blue, who's considered one of the better sprinters in New Zealand, coming at her. Alabama Last just says, see you later. To give you some perspective, Crocetti has just been selected to run in the Quokka, WA's version of the Everest. So you can see we're dealing with a pretty talented filly here. So let her go across the line and let's bring the market up for the Sunlight. The last thing I'm going to say is this is the best listed race you will ever see. Could easily be a group two, even a weak group one. Anyway, let's start talking about it. There's our Alabama Lass completely dominating the market.
Yeah, well, 1,100 down the straight at Flemington. So this autumn, what have we learned? Well, what have I learned, which I'm always trying to advance my knowledge about straight racing. So what I've learned is you've got to be strong.
Yep.
You've got to be strong late. Your sectionals are very important. You probably don't want to be drawn too close to the inside.
Okay.
And down the Flemington Straight, it's very good to have cover as well. So Alabama Lass here ticks a few of those boxes, but the last start rating and why Alabama Lass is $2.45 there with Ladbrokes is because of the last start rating, which was over 100.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly the best last start rating, but this is a completely different story coming to Flemington down the straight. Drawn barrier four as well.
Yep.
Where the risk, I think, is with Alabama Lass is the weight.
Okay.
We're going up from 52 and 53, and now she's carrying 57.
Near top weight, 59 looks like the top weight. Yep.
Yeah, 57 I had down. She got 59. Yeah,
no, I said 50.
Oh, yeah, near top weight.
First
yeah, that's right. So up 4.5 kilos and first go down the straight. So, and barrier four. Mm. So those are three key negatives for me. And when you're taking that price about a favourite, I want to be ticking every box now, especially on a Saturday. So to me, this opens up a bit of value. So where is the value? Firstly, Fitz, what did you think about Alabama?
Yeah, well, it does have the best last start rating, so it's going to rate top pick on anyone who's working off a rating system, I'd suggest. But like you, I thought you had to be super careful with this horse, purely on the basis that hasn't been down the straight, and I've fallen into plenty of favourites down the straight over the years. So, yeah, look, I would bet carefully on it, but I would wait if you wanted to be on it on race day. But it is a leader, and I did have a look. It looks like it might lead by itself. Not the worst thing down the straight, I think, at times. You're saying you like cover, depending on the race, I think.
It's got a lot of natural.
I've got a different perspective
speed,
on that. It does have some good gears.
It'd They'll be know where it's at. See. The owners and trainers will know where it's at.
Yeah.
Just on a broader sense, I love now trying to pick holes in high last start ratings.
Yep.
Because the market just nowadays just gravitates to putting them up so short. So where does the value lie? Let's go to Gadsby's number three.
Yes.
What have we got? Gadsby's there at $9.50. You may get a touch better, but Blake Shin goes on, coming out of a new market. Also ran down the straight a good race in the Coolmore as well.
Yep.
Number 12, Recon, 2 from 2. Not on the pages, about 33-1. Two from two out in the provincials in Victoria. Yep. Great odds. Number 15, beautiful barrier 17 there. Same course and distance as last start. And then ran up behind Private Hurry up north as well. Went up north and ran a decent race behind Private Hurry, but drawn the right part of the track. Also the 16, I thought Rich Duke was decent price
Rich
as well.
Here.
Rich Doddy, sorry. Yeah, decent price. Beat Clean Energy, which we know a lot about, last start down the straight as well. And I thought the bottom one had a chance first up. Brighter Waltz, as good odds, not on the screens, about 40-1 as well. So there's five horses. The favourite is going to go to the lead, and I'd box those other ones up into Quinella. If you get it, it's going to pay big odds.
Sure. Sure. Anything more to add, Fizz?
Yeah, well, the other two that I looked at, the Kings didn't even mention. I had number 13, second pick, Amelita.
Yep.
That's on a seven-day backup, and it's been down the straight before for a win, I think.
Yep.
And then first settler, a good jump out, $12, good horse.
Good horse.
Forgive last start before it went out for spell, and it'll be right in there up to its eyeballs as well. So drawn barrier one, though. Kings doesn't love the inside, and all mine are draw the inside, so we'll see what happens there on Saturday.
Great work. Let's move to race eight, the Australian Cup for 2025. She's back, Pride of Jenny. We've got an AI screen to help us unpack what is a very, very tricky race. Take it away, Kingzone.
Yeah, well, we can see the AI screen there. We've got Pride of Jenny behind Middle Earth. So Middle Earth on 80, Pride of Jenny 75, and then in the middle there, a Tissue on 76, which due to the price then and the second rater is a back at $8.50 at the moment, and then we tail out with Zardozzi. So let's start at the top of the betting and have a look at the Ladbrokes market there. We've got Pride of Jenny at $2.80, and we sat in this seat and we said, you know, Pride of Jenny's a massive risk, and she drifted from $3 out to about $4.40, and just she ran the best rating of her career. If we're talking ratings, she ran the top rating she's ever run.
Yeah.
Everyone prior to the race, word on the street was she wasn't right. In the yard as well, everybody said she's got a lot of improvement. So does she have a lot of improvement in her? Because if she does come out and do better than what she did that day, she wins.
Yeah.
But we're going from Caulfield to Flemington. Mm. We're going to 2,000 metres, and we got a bit of a spanner in the works here with Deny Knowledge. And
we do.
Fitz, you were mentioning before that you thought the risk was the pace of this race and the pressure that Pride of Jenny may face here.
Yeah, I just think there's going to be horses keen to take her on in this race, not letting her just lob in front. She's always favoured by those really small fields, which has happened quite a few times in her career where she's just got to roll along and then they can't catch her because they can't run the sectionals to run her down. But I think Deny Knowledge will go with her. Mm. And even take her on. And then on top of that, Middle Earth will push forward and so will Feroce. I don't think this race sets up very good for Pride of Jenny. Myself, I just said it's not a betting race for me, but I think the forgotten horse is Zardozzi. Everyone wants to forget that it was a $2.80 favourite to beat Pride of Jenny last start or $2.40 or something. And it's going to get the perfect run suck in behind him. There's going to be some horses well suited with the tempo on in this. And to me, the race sets up for a light infantryman, a Zardozzi or an Atishu.
What about Feroce with not top. Much weight?
I wasn't fussed about Feroce. I was happy to let it go in this race, not against this lot.
Yeah,
I'm interested in Middle Earth. So Middle Earth's come over here, looked like a 2,400 to 3,200 metre horse, runs distance. This is 2,000, comes out first up off a very slow tempo and wins over 2,000 metres. Fitz, how do you reckon? I'm interested in your opinion here, how you think Middle Earth will handle the fast tempo as opposed to the slow tempo when he is probably a 2,400 metre plus specialist.
Yeah, I was on it first up, if you remember,
yes, I do.
Middle Earth, and the tempo wasn't red hot, so it's hard to gauge. I'm not a huge fan of finding horses out of those slow tempo races because I often find, from what I see, the best horse with the best sprint in those races generally wins. Middle Earth just got there. I think there was a horse behind it. It's running in Sydney. Should have won the race, which is pretty unlucky. It was the other favourite in the race. But look, Middle Earth, it's going to have to do a bit more work. I don't know how its runs were in Europe in regards to pace. Before. Yeah, Duke de Cessa, is a horse. Middle Earth, I don't know whether it was in truly run races when it was running in Europe. I would suggest maybe sometimes yes, sometimes no, because over there they can loaf in front. It'll be interesting to see. It's going to have to put itself on the speed from barrier eight, which is going to be tough, Kings. It's going to have to work.
Why does everyone think it's going to be on the pace? Because it got back first up. I watched a couple of its UK runs that didn't race on the pace. Why is everyone saying this horse will go forward in a race with a lot of tempo? I think
sitting fourth or fifth, maybe the barrier, Kings. I don't know. Maybe why, I don't know.
Yeah.
Light infantry man, I thought maybe sit. Maybe you're right. Maybe Middle Earth gets back a bit further. But there's definitely speed on in this race, I think.
I definitely don't think this is a two-horse race at all. I can find other horses that could win. As you said, Zardozzi, light infantry man, Feroce as well. But the horse that I'm gravitating towards, which we saw on the AI screen, was a Tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So Tissue's third up, coming off two slow tempos, 1,400, 1,600. Now we get Waller going, taking her to clearly her grand final.
Yes.
She's been set for this race. Yep. Ran third in the race last year. Loves a good track as well. 2,000 at Flemington really, really is her go.
Mm-hmm.
I think the tempo up front will suit her. I think she's a fantastic each-way bet,
right.
In particular a place bet. I think she's very consistent. Over 2,000 metres, she's had 9 starts. She's run a place 7 times. One of the times she missed was up in Doomben. I think it was the Doomben Cup where she was pulled out of the race. Yeah. So call that 8 from 9 times she's run a place. So she's fit. She's consistent. She's going to get the tempo on. And I think anything above $2.50 for a place is a really, really good bet. I'm going to make a tissue my first official Saturday set bet. It's to win 200 in the win, and I'm putting a full unit, ooh, the place, a full 100 units, the place on a tissue. And that's my first official for the day.
Outstanding. You good, Fizz? Ready to move
good.
On?
Good. Ready to move on.
All right, let's go to race 9, and this is golden ticket time. If you win the Roy Higgins, you go straight into the Melbourne Cup, and we've got to talk about Deacon. So Deacon's sort of risen through the ranks. This is him winning on the, what was it, the 21st of February back at Moonee Valley. He broke the track record here. 2,500 metre race, I think. He's a dominant favourite in this race. Fizzer, I think you're pretty keen on him. You want to start telling us why as he goes past the post here?
Yeah, look, up and coming stayer. I'm always, I'm not a huge.
Big margin, wasn't it? Look at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm not someone who finds stayers very often, but I thought this horse was probably one of the better bets of the day there at Flemington for sure.
Okay.
It's a little bit of a drifter at the moment, but I can see it close to even money by the time they jump.
Really?
Look, I think it rolls along, gets to the front by itself, and then shows them a clean pair. And if it does what it did last start, I think they'll really, really struggle to catch this horse.
Okay.
It's a good young horse on the way up.
It was a bit wide early in that race
as well. It actually worked.
The tempo up front wasn't slow. They went decent tempo.
Worked really hard.
And he's finished off.
Yeah. So,
he can win a cup off that.
Hopefully he gets in this weekend.
That'll start this
Saturday.
That'll
do me.
All right. Well, we know what you think. What about you, Kingzo?
I didn't mind this race. I think there's clearly only two hopes, and they're the first two in the market. They're Deacon and Berkshire Breeze. We've talked about Deacon. I don't have a lot to say. If Deacon reproduces that run, then he wins. Mm. And Berkshire Breeze, if he can recapture some old form, which I saw a glimpse of last start in the Australia Cup Prelude,
yes,
behind Middle Earth, who's second pick in the Australia Cup, only got beat a length and just got taken down there by, I think, ran fourth, Berkshire Breeze, in that by Middle Earth. So the 2,600 will suit more so than the 2,000 of last start. Getting fitter, so those whichever one of those two horses I think peaks on the day. And track pattern may play a part there, but I think there's clearly only two hopes, and I think they sort of, You could bundle them up. Ooh. Or is it an official bundle? Could that be a first?
I don't know, maybe.
Nah. Bundle, I think if you can back them both, then you'll get around the $2 mark, you'll finish with some cash.
Very good. All right, that rounds out our feature races from Flemington. Don't forget, you can access AI Wolf Den AI for free on Saturday because of our partnership with racing.com. Go hit that up on the Wolf Den app or the wolfden.win website. It's time to go up to Rose Hill, where we're worried about the rain, and we look at the Vinery Stud Stakes for the 3-year-old fillies. Over 2,000 metres to get us going. There is the screen. There's no videos because we all know how treasured the moment is.
Yeah.
Will she keep that picket fence going? I think she's, 6 from 7 now or something like that?
7 from 9 she is.
7 from 9 is she?
Seven from 9. And what I'm really concerned about, and we've spoken about the rain, but it's rain on the day as well. I think when it's raining on the day, what do you reckon? Fitz, pen the meeting?
I honestly would. That's my go. I'm just like, rain on the day, unless you like roughies and you find a few muddies, then sweet, bet your life away. But for me, it's not much good from a form perspective when you've done a race meeting out. And it really throws a lot out.
A lot of horses just turn up, go, this is awful.
Yeah, exactly. And they keep racing them on the big days too. So you'd suggest they'll finish the meeting unless it's like torrential. Mm.
We all know Treasure the Moment's, got the best figures in the race, 7 from 9. She looks an absolute superstar. But we talked about the rain, so I won't continue that. But the other thing is, she's never been to Sydney. So horses travelling, that's another little question mark. Sure. And as I said, when you're taking odds on about horses on Saturdays, we see them get rolled so much, you want to be ticking every single box. And for me, she doesn't tick every single box here at all. So I'd be betting against her. So where does the value lie? I like the race that Lazuro won last time. Mm-hmm. It was an extremely slowly run race, and it didn't suit two horses in this race. Number 2, Moving Out, who's loves, come over from New Zealand, loves the wet, Chris Waller. And interestingly, James McDonald has moved off Delici to go on to
Moving Out.
And that's probably why, because if you look at Moving Out's form, $8 seems short, but there's a bit of J-Mac tax in there, and it's there for a reason because he rides so many winners. So the other one is as well Delici. So the Nash Twitchy goes on. So you haven't lost much there at all. If, wet, tick. 2,000 metres, tick. Both these horses got back off a really slow tempo, as I mentioned, against Lazuro. I think they'll both be suited over 2,000 metres. I think they'll both improve. And I think one of them can beat Treasure the Moment.
So you're against Treasure?
At the price, yes. You're against. Yeah, yes. I mean, give me $2.50 and I'll back Treasure the Moment. But you're not going to get it. She's going to be short. She's going to be well backed. She's going to be in all the multis.
She's the anchor of all the multis.
Yeah. And if I was a bookie, I'd be quite happy to lay her at 165.
Fill the bag. What are we doing, son?
Yeah, I could only be on Treasure the Moment if it was dry.
Yep.
And then happy to stay out because there's no way it's going to be dry. So happy to let the race go, mate. Let them run without me.
Sounds good. All right, let's move on to the Tancred, one of the great races on the calendar. This is an absolute vintage edition. Waller's got six runners. I think there's going to be money for a lot of runners in this race. And just to get us in the groove, let's go back and look at Vauban's win here. This was in the Sky High. You got Lindemann out in front, Arapaho, who is well in the market for the Tancred. And Vauban comes over the top late. I think five of the six horses in this race are also in the Tancred. Here's Vauban finishing very, very hard. Let's watch him go over the line and let's bring up the market and chat away.
Yeah, we've got Dubai Honor $3 from Vauban $4, Arapaho $6 and Duke DeCessa $7. I could see any one of those four horses winning. My gut feeling says the best two horses in the race are the top two, but the market's saying that as well. There's not a lot of pace in this race. Duke DeCessa rolls forward, the Caulfield Cup winner, fits just straight to the front for the Duke.
Yeah, don't know. I didn't really look at this race too hard in regards to a speed map perspective because I find the stayers can sort of like lob into their normal position. So, yeah, I didn't look hard at that.
Well, there's not a lot of pace in this. I mean, track pattern's going to play a big part in this race. Dubai Honor ran second over in Hong Kong.
November, December last year, wasn't it?
It's hard to pick any holes in these horses. Vauban, as we saw, now settled in Australia for Gabe Waterhouse. Yeah. I expect him to improve off that run as well. Arapaho, better suited, loves the wet and also better suited over the distance. So the interesting runner down the bottom there is number 14, River of Stars, coming over from the UK as well. So it's hard to bet in this race for mine. There's nothing I dislike and there's nothing that I think is a lot better. If forced, I would probably back Vauban because I just think he's got a lot. I love that last win and I think he's got the most improvement in the race.
Yes, extra 400 medals will suit him, Fizz.
Yeah, I think this race depends on how wet that really does get. Sure. If it's a heavy track, you've got a horse like Warmonger who hit form again last start by running second, who's a dead set mudlark who might just really appreciate it. The other one I thought was a muddy was the 3 Arapaho, which ran second in the race you just showed behind Vauban. Vauban hasn't actually been on a heavy, but it handles the soft very well.
Right.
Dubai Honor, I'm pretty sure, hasn't been on a heavy track either, but quality trainer who comes out here and wins everything he goes in. So, look, Arapaho top pick for me in a race I won't be betting in.
A lot of these horses might go in the Sydney Cup as well.
Mm.
Good trial for that. All right, well, that does the Rose Hill meeting, and we are now going to get your official Saturday set, and I'm feeling like it's going to be pretty short and sharp because you've already given us one.
Yeah, it is. It is short. It's short and sharp. I've only got one more. So my first one was – I got two in total, Flemington Race 8, the 7 in the Australia Cup, a tissue, Ichi Way, win and place, and the other one's up north, which there's a lot of rain tipped as well, and Fitz was saying he didn't know whether the meeting was actually going to go ahead because it's already a heavy 9 and they're tipping a lot of rain, but this horse loves the rain. Race 3, number 2, Adiella, round even money at the moment, $2. I would wait on the price, but she's fit, she drops in grade, she loves the wet, as I mentioned, and she looks my best bet of the day across the country. So I've only got two. I'm not going to tip for the sake of tipping because I think it looks a very hard day, so... Yeah.
We've just got to get through the weekend, make a little bit of money, move on. Yeah,
that's it.
Fizz, have you got any?
I'll try and make up for King's lack of tips with too many, I think. But I started in Melbourne race 9, number 3, Deacon, which we talked about. I got one more in Flemington, race 5, number 10. Exudo, this horse is a winner and it's been going very, very well. I think it's going for 4 in a row. Mm-hmm. I like the way it sets up, draws well this weekend and should be very hard to beat again. Going to Ascot for 3 bets. I'm going to race 1, number 9, 6-inch heels. This horse goes up to 1,400, which suits, hit the line for a very soft win last started. I think it'll go to the Saturday grade and win. I'm going to race 2, number 1 in Ascot, Talking Gibberish. It's what I'm doing right now, so I won't keep going. But, yeah, I think it'll hopefully give us a good run for our money. And then race 5, number 5, Siberian Siren, hoping they push forward on it and give it a good run in transit. And then we go to Morpheville for 2 bets. Race 5, number 8, Fontaine Rouge. This horse comes over from Victoria, ran at Sandown over 1,800 in a hot race last start, like a hot speed race. Should prove hard to beat. And then we've got one more race, six, number 11, my best bet of the day, Spirit of Camelot. This horse was up the wrong part of the track, up the inside first up. Fit a second up, 1,500 suits, looks perfect.
That's all you got?
That's it, just the seven bets.
Outstanding.
Good
that'll,
work.
That'll keep everyone
just busy. Just the seven.
You love a bet.
You love a bet.
Love it's a good horse, that Spirit of Camelot.
He's a good horse. Hopefully it wins this weekend.
This episode is brought to you by our good mates at Ladbrokes. Ladbrokes has you covered with all the best racing features so you can own this autumn carnival. You can support the show by joining Ladbrokes today and using the code GALLOP. And if you want the ultimate social betting experience, be sure to check out Ladbrokes Mates Mode, where you can chat, share and bet with your mates. We've even started our own Wolfden Mates Mode group, and you can join the action by using the join code UPTHEDEN25. So check out Mates Mode and download the Ladbrokes app this autumn carnival.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.
Hey, so boys, this is the last weekend of the Melbourne Autumn Carnival. Thought we might just look back and try and find a couple of highlights. What was your favourite racing moment? Let's call it the racing moment. Where not so
my favourite racing moment was Jolly Star.
Okay, here it is here, the new
market. In the new market. Look at this. Bursting to the lead. Yeah, have a look at the exceptional sectionals here and just puts them to the store down the straight. And this was a long time coming, this sort of explosive win from Jolly Star. So I think there's a lot more in store for the Jolly. Mm,
she'll get a chance in the TJ. What about your favourite betting moment?
My favourite betting moment was last Saturday in the William Reid with Schwartz just going straight to the front. And on a leader bias track, but it didn't matter because I just kept putting money on $9, $8.50, $7.50, $7, and Schwartz got the cash. Was never really in doubt on that leader's track, and it was just great to be down there and watch that live as well. It's just sensational.
And we got the multi up 220,000, much publicised now.
Yeah, it was great.
Move on from, but
yeah, it was just great to get it home. And the Saturday before that as well, I had such a devastating day. I just felt so flat when I left this office the previous Saturday, and I went home and I sat in front of my computer. I got home, I just ate something, and I sat there from 7 o'clock till midnight. I set my alarm for 7 a.m. Wow. I got up and I sat there for another 12 hours, and I worked and I got myself back into a better frame of mind. When I left this office, I rang Fitz, and we both were just so down, and we were just like, you know, what do we have to sort of do to win? We're doing everything right. And I worked my way through that, but it's not about I'm not telling you this story because the harder you work, the luckier you get. It's about not giving up and not giving up on yourself, because this game can be, this game, and I don't care who you are, this game can really rip your soul out.
Sure.
And just, you know, you feel like you're the only boat that loses sometimes. And on social media, everyone wants to talk up the winners. Oh, the, you know, the multi at 110 to 1. But, I mean, we don't. We're quite honest about the fact when we lose and also when we win. But no one's immune to losing.
Mm.
And when you are in that spot, keep believing in yourself. Keep doing the work. And it eventually it does turn. And if it doesn't turn, at least you're giving yourself the best chance.
Wonderful. Sage advice. Hey, Fizz, you're more of a betting man, right? So you've just got a betting highlight.
Yeah, betting highlight. I guess for me, the Blue Diamond winner, yeah. Devil Knight. This horse.
Here we go. In the Yulon.
This
colours.
Horse did me proud at a good price that day, and so from a betting perspective, and not so much of a race loving perspective, this one was just helped my wallet get bigger.
Mm, that was all. Nothing wrong with that. It was a big run in the slipper too.
Massive
Devil
run
Knight.
In the slipper, yeah. And I did have something small in the slipper, but anyway, happy it got the cash that day.
Yeah, it was really good. Great carnival, and I've just got another quick question for you before we close out. So we got Autumn Glow back on the weekend. She ran incredibly well. So I think we're ready to make some decisions. I put a poll up on the Den. Who's the best filly in the land? There you can see. So Autumn Glow leading the way from Lady Shenandoah and Treasure at the moment. What do you say? Who do you think is the best three-year-old filly in the land?
I think Autumn Glow, if I had to own one of those horses moving forward, it'd be Autumn Glow from Treasure of the Moment, Lady Shenandoah.
They're just outstanding fillies, aren't they? They're all just freaks.
I love Lady of Camelot too. Gee, she's tough.
Yeah.
She's tough. But Autumn Glow, I think, has got the most upside out of those three.
Yeah, it's amazing we don't even put Lady of Camelot in the conversation. Fizzer?
Yeah, special bunch. I'm going to go the minority Lady Shenandoah for me. Been impressed with everything it does, and I think it's a very good horse, but Those three are all very good horses.
In a year from now, that might look very different.
Could all do. Stars.
A lot of racing in front of them.
Could mm. do.
Now, I love to finish with a bit of a fire up for you, and if this doesn't fire you up, nothing will. I'll play it for you boys as well. We're going to go back to 2004, the Australian Cup. Lonro was his last ever start in Melbourne before he came up for his swan song
Darren
in
Biedman.
Sydney. Darren Biedman on board.
I was
and
on.
And as Greg Miles said, the champion is in desperate trouble. Let's go and watch that. Enjoy the Australian Cup on the weekend. Enjoy watching Lonro do what he does in the Australian Cup in 2004. Thanks for the support. Up the Den. See you on Saturday.
12 lengths from the leader. It's a generous pace. It's set by Physique. Out by 3 lengths to Mummify. 3 lengths to Sound Action. Lonro, every chance, a length and a half away. Fourth on the inside at the 1,000. Del Zayo is around the champ. And 2 lengths further back is Elfstrom. Followed by Zicello the rail. Another 2 lengths away. Fantastic. And then the Jewel. And to Maccabi Diva last of all. 700 left to go in the Dali Australian Cup. It's Physique in front. Mummify popped off the fence. 3 quarters away. 2 lengths to Sound Action. Lonro the inside within 4 of the leader coming around the turn now. And then Del Zayo followed by Elfstrom. Zicello is hard ridden. Then Fantastic. Maccabi Diva the Jewel dropped out last. Physique the leader in the straight from Mummify. There's the gap coming for Lonro. Sound Action tries to pocket him. Biedman in a bit of trouble trying to force through. He got checked, the champ. And Sound Action hit the front now from Mummify. Lonro, the champion's in desperate trouble. Del Zayo's gone past him. 150 to go. He's got to the outside. Del Zayo in front. The crowd roaring. Go, Lonro, go. But the three-year-old's in front. Del Zayo. Lonro, he's coming. He's going to get there. Yes, Lonro won it. What a champion. What a way to go. He beat Del Zayo. Elfstrom is third. And they were followed closely by Fantastic Mummify. And further back, Maccabi Diva. Sound Action. Zicello. Physique. And the Jewel is a long last. What a way to go.